Okay, gentlemen, we'll get started. So we're on Yud Gimel Min Aleph. And we looked at the Mishnah already. We'll come back to this Mishnah over and over again. We'll start the Gemara. Now, as by way of introduction, the Gemara is going to give us three opinions in Tanoim. And based on these three opinions, two extreme and one in the middle, we're going to establish who is the author of our Mishnah. And what we notice about our Mishnah, which lists all the cases of Lavim, for which, if there was Hasra, you get Malkus, Chayve Krisus are included in that list. For example, the first on the list is Haba al Achoso, the punishment for which is Kares. But if there was a Hasra for Malkus, then the criminal will receive Malkus. However, the list does not include any of the Chivei Misa. So for example, if a man would have a relationship with an Eish HaSish, which is a Chiv Misa, or if a man would violate Shabbos, which is a Chiv Misa, and many other cases, it would seem from the omission of the Mishnah he would not get Malkus. And the logical reason for that is because the Torah gives him Misa. And if the punishment for the crime is Misa, then we drop the normal punishment of Malkus. But as we'll soon see, this is a major, major controversy. So let's read the Gemara. Chayve Krisus Ketani. In this list we find Chayve Krisus, for example, Abal Achoso. But Chayve Misus Bezin Lo Ketani. The Mishnah, in a very oblique, in a very profound way, completely omits any case of Chayve Misos. Rashi says in the bottom, Kol chayve krisus she'ein ba misas bezdin huskru mishnah seinu linyan malkus. All of the cases which engender kares are listed in the Mishnah, and you get malkus for that. But echad mikol chayve misas bezdin lo huskar. But not even one case of a chiv misa. You know, if there had been one case, Rashi says maybe that would have been indicative of the entire category, and you'd say tana v'shir. He mentioned one case, and you could equate all the other cases, but not one single example of a Chayvi Mises Bezdin is mentioned Lamalkus in Hisru Bo Lamalkus. Just like in the case of a Chayvi Krisus, if you got a Hasra for Malkus, you'd be Chayv Malkus. Why not apply the same yardstick to Chayvi Mises Bezdin? If instead of getting a Hasra for Misa, you got a Hasra for Malkus, then you should be Chayv Malkus. So the Gemara says, Hamani Rabbi Akiva. It must be that the author of our Mishnah is Rabbi Akiva. And now the Gemara is going to proceed to quote the Braisa, which records three different shitos in the Tanoim. The middle shita, I call it the compromise shita, is that of Rabbi Akiva. On the two polar extremes, we'll have Rabbi Yishmael, which is the first opinion mentioned in the Braisa. And then we'll have Rabbi Yitzchak, which is on the other extreme. He's the third opinion mentioned in the Braisa. Tisanya, we learned in a Braisa. This is Rabbi Shmuel. Echad, Chayve Krisus. The Echad, Chayve Mises Bezdin. Yeshno Bichlal Malkus Arboim Divrei Rabbi Shmuel. So Rabbi Shmuel says, in all cases of Lavim, every single Lav in the Torah so far, we'll see a few exceptions later, but basically in the opening line, every single Chi of Malkus, whether it's a Chi of Malkus that is just a Chi of Malkus and nothing more, that's your classical Lav. For example, if you eat the Vela. Whether it's a Chi of Malkus based on a lav sheyesh bo kares, for example, a lav like achoso, or whether it's a chiyuv of a lav that incurs misa, for example, abal eish hashish or chil shabbos. In all cases, straight across the board, without exception, you'll get malkus. So you take a look at Rashi on the top line. He points out the following: the imhisru bo misa umalkos, when the edim who witnessed this crime gave him a warning, they gave him a double warning. They told him that if he violates this crime, he will incur at the same time Misa and Malkus, meaning he'll be punished with two punishments. In such a case, says Rabbi Yishmael, Loke Umes. He gets Malkus and Misa. Now, if you look at the first of the wide lines for a second, all the way down at the end of your page, you'll see soon that Rava, in the middle of that line, has a different approach to Rabbi Yishmael. Rashi, at this point on the top, is not aware, so to speak, of Rava. What I mean is his pshat does not reflect the sheet of Rava. Rava says that if there was a hasra for Misa, then even Rabbi Yishmael would agree that there's no Malkus. The Machlokus is where there is hasra for Malkus and only for Malkus. That's going to be Rava's interpretation. But getting back to Rashi on the top, we're not aware of Rava. We're going to take the simple pshat and the, shall we say, the first line interpretation, the simple interpretation of Rabbi Yishmael, and therefore we're going to assume that Rabbi Yishmael is talking about a scenario in which he gets two punishments, both Malkus and Misa. And why? Says Rashi, because there was Asra for both Malkus and Misa. But just to summarize, the first sheet, which is on one polar extreme and knows no compromise, is Rabbi Yishmael Luchumra, who says that you'll always get Malkus, despite the fact that the Torah designates other punishments, additional punishments, whether it's Kares, whether it's Misa. Nevertheless, you'll always get Malkus. Now, in the case of Kares, I'm less excited about it. It's not so revolutionary, because that's a punishment up in the Beis Din Shalmala. So down here in Beis Din Shalmata, we're going to mete out Malkus. And what Beis Din Shalmala does upstairs is less of my responsibility. But in the case of Misa, Rabbi Yishmael is really presenting a mouthful here. He's saying that we're going to give you two punishments, both Misa and Malkus. And the Gemara is going to be upset about this and try to find some source to derive this halacha. Then we have Rabbi Akiva's sheet. Rabbi Akiva moves down one level. Rabbi Akiva is not as extreme as Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Chayve Krisus Yeshno Bechal Malkus Arboim. I'm going to agree with you halfway, says Rabbi Akiva to Rabbi Yishmael. In the case of Chayve Krisus, Enochinami, I agree with you, Rabbi Yishmael, there will be Malkus. And as I said before, that's not so revolutionary, so radical, because Kares is up in Shamayim. You know, Kares is a different kind of an Onesh by its very nature. And we'll soon see that Rabbi Akiva demonstrates this. He gets very dramatic about proving that there's a unique nature to the Onesh of Kares. So since Onesh Kares is a little bit different, let's call it a weaker kind of punishment, just to use a very ambiguous term. Therefore, when the Torah specifies for a lav that you get Malkus, there's no reason to exclude Malkus in the case of a Chiyuv Kares. Hashem will worry about the Kares. Down here in Beis Din, we have to worry about Malkus. To demonstrate, says Rabbi Akiva, that the Chiyuv Kares is a different kind of an Onesh by its very quality. She'emasa tshuva Beis Din Shalmala mochlim lahem. You see a fundamental difference, says Rabbi Akiva, between the punishment of Kares and all the other punishments. Every single punishment has to be meted out by Beis Din Shalmata in an unconditional way. It's absolute. We're not going to ask questions. There are no ifs, ands, or buts. We're not going to say to the criminal, well, you know what? We're going to give you a chance. We'll give you 5 minutes to do tshuva. And if you do tshuva, we're going to waive the punishment. There's no such thing. The punishment meted out by Beis Din is unconditional and absolute. But in the case of Kares, that's a whole different story. The punishment of Kares is something that belongs to Beis Din Shalmala. And up there in the heavenly courts, they can decide that we will waive and alleviate you of the onesh of Kares because you did tshuva. Therefore, Rabbi Akiva says, the punishment of Kares is not really an onesh in terms of the way we have to treat punishment. So in Hilchus Onshim, there's no reason to give a person two different onshim, but if Kares is not really, really an onesh, Haraya, the proof is that it all depends on whether he did do tshuva, he didn't do tshuva. It's not absolute and unconditional. It's a maybe yes, a maybe no. That punishment is not to be thrown into this whole mixture, this whole discussion about whether we can give a person two punishments for one crime. However, Chayve Mises Beis Din, now we're talking about a classical punishment meted out by Beis Din Shalmata. is Eina Bechal Malkus Arboim. The Torah has substituted Misa for Malkus. Misa now becomes the punishment and the only punishment. And I'll prove to you that Misa is a classic punishment. It's absolute, it's unconditional. Shem Asa Tshuva. You know, the person is being taken out for, you know, for one of the four Mises Bezdin, to Beis Haskila, for example, and he yells and he screams, but I'm doing Tshuva. It won't help him one iota. Ein Bezdin Sholmata Mochlin Lo. Bezdin Sholmata does not have the power to grant him Mechila and alleviate him from the punishment. The punishment is absolute. And therefore, to impose upon him two punishments, to say that the Torah says that in this case he was Mechal Shabbos, we're going to give him not only Misa, but Malkus as well, that Rabbi Akiva is not willing to do. And now we have the third opinion, the Tanoim, which is the other extreme, Lakula, that of Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak Omer, Chayvei Krisus Bechlal Havu. We'll see exactly what that means in a minute, but generally speaking, to give you the ambiguous kind of interpretation, it means that when the Torah specified all the lavim, it included chayvei krisus in the lavim, and therefore the punishment that we anticipate would be malchus, and lama yotzes kareis b'achosa. Why is it that the Torah had to specify in the case of Achoso, that there's a chiyuv kares? Now, there's something very strange here when you read the Gemara. The Gemara starts with the phrase chayvei krisus bechlal hayu, which seems to assume that chayvei krisus are included under all lavim as far as Malkus is concerned. And that's indeed the way Tosus interprets these words. Let me just quickly show you the line in Tosus that's very relevant. He says, it's the top Tosus. Nira Lefaresh, line 4 in the top Tosus here on your Gimel Amid Beis. Dechayvei krisus bechal malkus hen. You know, even those lavim that precipitate a chiv kares were included in the general lavim. The hagamrinon bechal lav de'ika malchus. We have a pasuk in Chumash that tells us, Vayim ben hakas ha-rasha, that every single lav engenders a chiv malchus. Then the Gemara says, Rabbi Yitzchak says, v'lama yotzas kareis b'achoso. Now what does that mean? So Tosus interprets it thusly. He says, sharei achoso ksuva hoisa im ha-rayos. Achoso appears in the list of arayos in Parshas Achrei Mos. And therefore, in the Torah in Achrei Mos gives us a general rule of v'nichras ha-nefashos. It applies to Achoso as well. Why then did the Torah feel compelled to specify kareis b'achoso? There's a special pasuk that tells us, I'll read the pasuk to you. It says, Habal achoso v'nichrasa. The Torah specifies kares by achoso. So there's an extra pasuk. Again, let's go over this. All lavim are included in the chiyuv malchus, even chiyuv kares. Achoso is included in the chiyuv kares. And yet the Torah went out of its way to specify that if a man has relations with his sister, he's chayuv kares. That pasuk is completely superfluous. So what does it come to teach? Lama yatzeis kareis b'achoso. The pasuk says, Ish ki yikach es achoso v'nichrusa. Laduno b'kareis, to tell you that he's chayv kareis b'achoso, and only kareis. Lima'ute, to the exclusion of, v'lo b'malkus. So the Ritva right away asks the question, okay, so you've got a pasuk to tell you that in the case of Achoso, you get Malkus. But that was the exception in the case of Achoso. How do we know, therefore, that Rabbi Yitzchak's conclusion is correct, that any lav sheyesh bo kares is alleviated from Malkus? Says the Ritva, one of the Yud Gimel Midas HaTorah Nidreshes Behen is called Dover Shoya Bechlal, V'yotze Min HaKlal, Lo Al Atzmo Yotze, El Lamin Al Klal Kula Yotze. So since Achoso is included in the Klal, And therefore there should have been Malkus in Achoso. Now the Torah says Kares, yes, but no Malkus. It means the Torah took Achoso out of the Klal. So we apply the principle that when you take something out of the Klal, it refers, it sheds a light on the entire Klal, and Achoso now becomes representative of the category of all Chayvei Krisus, to teach you that all Chayvei Krisus get the punishment of Kares and not the punishment of Malkus. Now, notice that Rabbi Yitzchak doesn't address the question of Chayvei Misos. But you know, I think what we could say is that Rabbi Yitzchak is talking to Rabbi Akiva. And since Rabbi Akiva admitted that in the case of Chayvei Misos, there's no Malkus, Rabbi Yitzchak didn't even bother repeating what we already know from Rabbi Akiva. Even though, keep in mind that Rabbi Shmuel disagrees. Rabbi Shmuel is of the opinion that not only in the case of Chiyuv Kares do you get Malkus, which is something that even Rabbi Akiva would agree to, but even in the case of a Chiyuv Misa, according to Rabbi Shmuel, you get Malkus. But nevertheless, Rabbi Yitzchak didn't even mention that. And all of Mefarshim assume that it was a Dover Pasha to Rabbi Yitzchak, and in the case of a Chiyuv Misa, there's no Malkus. Where Rabbi Yitzchak felt compelled to work to prove, and he has a Pasuk for that, is that Chayvei Krisus don't engender a Chiyuv Malkus. Meaning, there was Hasra for Malkus, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, will take care of the Chiyuv Kares, that's up in Bezen Shalmala. But down here we have to meet out Malkus, and that's indeed the opinion of both Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva in this case. Comes along Rabbi Yitzchak, and he says, Lama Yotzis Kares Bachoso, Lo Al Atzmo Lo Yotza, El Lamed Al Kal Kuli Yotza, Chayvei Krisus, do not engender a Chiyuv Malkus, even though there was Asra for Malkus. Okay, so I have a photocopy here from the Otzer Mefarshei Talmud, and to my surprise, it actually came out. I don't know. This machine is very picky, very finicky. So if you want to take one and just pass it around, I have the original here, so you should have two sides of a page. If you don't, then it's two pages, so take two pages, because that's the original. Do you see where I sort of boxed off the words Yesh Shehiksha? So if you want to follow me inside, there's a kasha here. Rabbi Yitzchak requires a Yalfusa to derive from Achoso that there's no Malkus in Chayvei Krisus. Because since the Torah specified, and this was absolutely superfluous, Kares Bachoso, Kares again was included in all the, Achoso was included in all the Chivei Kares. So the Torah must be telling me that the punishment for Achoso, excuse me, is Kares and only Kares. Apparently, if Rabbi Yitzchak needs this Yalfusa, then what would be the conclusion without the Yalfusa? What is Rabbi Yitzchak actually assuming? What's his premise? That if I didn't have the Alfusa, then in the case of Chiyuv Kares, there would be Malkus. Yeshehiksha lama hutzrach Rabbi Yitzchak lilmod me'achoso she'ein Malkus b'chayvei krisus harei mashma she'ein cholik al Rabbi Akiva. He doesn't disagree with Rabbi Akiva regarding chayvei misas bezdin she'ein lokim. So if we assume, as all the Mefarshim do, that Rabbi Yitzchak certainly agrees with the Kal V'chomer that in the case of Chayvei Misas there is no Malkus, then what premise is Rabbi Yitzchak operating with? Why is it that there's no Chiyuv Malkus in the case of Misa? Once the Torah specifies a punishment, then one crime, one punishment.
What does it do with all the other issues, like Shabbos, for example? If you had witnesses, if you didn't have witnesses, right? Like, there's a big difference there.
Right, but what Rabbi Yitzchak is saying, we never meet out two punishments. In other words,
at the same time, we're meaning
for the same criminal act
as an option.
There's no option of two punishments for the same criminal act. It just doesn't exist. So if the Torah says that the punishment for Shabbos is Misa, there's no way that we can give you any other onesh. Because one punishment, per crime. You know, we're very stingy when the Torah specifies and singles out a punishment. That is the punishment.
It makes sense if you're only talking about based in Shemala, about you're going to say simultaneously there's a based in Shemala that.
Okay. So again, before we get to, you know, to that distinction, but let's just understand the premise of this kash again. Why, since Rabbi Yitzchak agrees in the paradigm case of Misa that there's no chiv malchus, therefore the underlying premise is one punishment per crime, and therefore in the case of Misa we can't possibly dream, even if there was asraf for malchus, of giving you malchus because you only get one punishment. The Torah spelled out that punishment. Therefore, in the case of Kares, the Torah spelled out the punishment of Kares. If the Torah spelled out the punishment of Kares, how can we possibly give malchus? Why does Rabbi Yitzchak feel compelled to introduce a new Yalfusa from the extra word achoso in Kares to teach me that Chayve Krisus did not get a punishment of malchus? Logically, I should have derived that based on the very premise of Rabbi Yitzchak, who embraces the sheath of Rabbi Akiva in the case of Misa, one punishment per crime. That's the maksh. Okay, that everybody's saying the same thing. I just want to show you the way he develops this. He says the following: Vitirei. Since you'll have to flip to the other side of the page, right? It should say on the top Tafresh Aleph as the number of the page. You have such a thing on the first line. Vitirei. That's what we want to focus on. Let me try, you know, take a minute to read the text. It's a little bit challenging. I'm gonna take the liberty of presenting this thesis in my own words. He quotes in number 18 the Bechar Shar, who's the author of the Tevuah Shar, which is a basic work on Yoredeya. And I think he says the following. In the case of a Chiyuv Kares, ask yourself the following question. Is a chiyuv kares an absolute punishment or a conditional punishment? Oh, so we'll say it's conditional because the possibility of what? Of tshuva. Oh. So the Gemara doesn't like that. Why doesn't the Gemara like that? Because there's a moment in time where tshuva becomes impossible. Where the final psak of punishment, in this case kares, is engraved in stone. It is twisted in a way that it's locked in a way that you can't unlock it. And that's called gzar din. The moment that HaKadosh Baruch Hu decrees the Gzar Din, then there's no possibility of tshuva. This is a principle which is formulated by the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. You'll see it on the second line of your page. It's Rosh Hashanah Daf Tes Zayin. And underline the words, Rabbi Akiva Sovisha Achar Gzar Din Ein Mo'ila Tshuva. What that means then is that you cannot make the claim that in Chayve Krisus there's no Malchus because the punishment is going to be Kares, correct? Right? The punishment is going to be Kares. And then tell me, well, you know what? Kares is conditional. Maybe there won't be any Kares. Well, I'm going to convince you that there absolutely will be Kares. And if there absolutely will be kares, then Rabbi Akiva makes no sense. Meaning, to alleviate Chayve Krisus of Malchus, you have to tell me that he may or may not have kares. But if I can prove to you and establish beyond the shadow of doubt that he will suffer kares, then we have to alleviate you of the punishment of Malchus because of the definite nature of the Chiyuv Kares. Meaning, at some point in time, the Gemara assumes, Kares makes a transition from being kind of iffy and maybe we're uncertain, will there be karis or will there not karis, and all of a sudden we clinch the chi of karis in an absolute way and we know there's going to be karis, and at that point, once we know there's going to be karis, then how can we give malchus? Just give me 1 minute because I'm still working out the logic in my own mind. So what Rabbi Akiva is saying, therefore, is very difficult. Rabbi Akiva says, in the case of Chiyuv Karis, give him Malchus. Why? Because we're not meeting out two punishments. The punishment of Karis is a very iffy punishment, very uncertain. And therefore, we have the right, and indeed the obligation, to give him Malchus. But the Gemara has a problem with that, because at some point or other, the Chiyuv Kares is absolute, it's clinched, and once that happens, then Rabbi Akiva's logic falls apart, and we have to alleviate the criminal of a Chiyuv Malchus. Why? Because the rule is, we cannot allow two punishments for the same crime. Since Rabbi Akiva says in Masechet Rosh Hashanah that there's a point to which I cross the red line and the Chiyuv Karis becomes locked in, namely after the Gzar Din is signed and sealed up in Shamayim, then we don't understand Rabbi Akiva. And the Gemara is going to pick this up later on. Wait, just give me 1 moment. I just want to see, because what ultimate, I'm sorry, I really apologize, but I just want to get back to Rabbi Yitzchak. Oh. However, According to Rabbi Yitzchak, I understand very well why there's going to be Malchus in the case of a Chiyuv Kares. Because in the case of a Chiyuv Kares, according to Rabbi Yitzchak, you'll never ever get to the point of no return where you lock in the Chiyuv Kares. Because Rabbi Yitzchak is of the opinion in the same Sugya Masechta Rosh Hashanah that even after the Gzar Din is signed and sealed in Shemayim, you can still repeal the Gzar Din through what? Through tshuva. Therefore, Kares by its very nature, according to Rabbi Akiva, is always iffy. It's never absolute. And therefore, logically, we can accept the principle that Rabbi Akiva was working with, no two punishments for one crime, and since in the case of Kares, it's not really a punishment, again, because it lacks the definite and absolute nature of a punishment, therefore we can mete out Malchus, Rabbi Yitzchak has a problem. Rabbi Yitzchak now has to go back to the drawing board and prove to us that in the case of a Chiyuv Kares, there is no Malchus. And that's why he needs a Chosam. Okay, now I got it.
I'm trying to understand it technically. How will we ever know if there's a Kares Lamala unless it was a Psak Din Lamata? That's something we can be sure about. And we're not the ones to give Kares. We'll either give Misa or Malchus, not Kares. But once we say, I'm assuming, once the basement says he's guilty of that crime, that would carry Kares, but we're going to give him, you know, one of the other punishments. That's called a, in other words, Gzar Din, you were the wrong claiming that Gzar Din in Shemayim.
Right, no.
How do we ever know Gzar Din in
Shemayim? We'll never know, Rabbi Poster. We'll never know. But what we do know is the following, that Rabbi Akiva says that if a person has relations with his sister, Rahman al-Tzlan, he will get Malchus. How can you give him Malchus? Isn't there a logical possibility that up in Shemayim they've already, you know, given, how should I say, delivered the verdict? In which case, how can you give Malchus? If Rabbi Akiva is giving Malchus in every single case of Baal Achoso, there's going to be at least one case in a million, it doesn't matter how often, how frequent it is, in which the criminal doesn't deserve Malchus because he's going to get the punishment of Kares. Now you'll ask me, but there is never such a case. The answer is there is such a case because there is a case which precludes tshuva and locks in the punishment of Kares. Therefore, according to Rabbi Akiva, we're in a real bind because we don't know, and the Gemara again is going to address this question in just a few minutes. How do you know, Rabbi Akiva, that we can give Malchus in the case of a Chiyuv Kares? Aren't you meeting out two different punishments? And by the way, I don't want to let the cat out of the bag, but at the end of the day, we're only going to derive that conclusion based on Gzeirah Shavah of Me'ene Einecha. But without that Gzeirah Shavah, Ein Achinami, we can't possibly give Malkus, because we always have to be afraid of the possibility that you're giving him two punishments. But in the framework of Rabbi Yitzchak, here we can certainly give out Malkus, because there never ever is any situation, any scenario in which there's absolute certainty that Kares will be meted out. And since there's never that certainty, Kares by its own nature, its own quality, always remains uncertain. And if it's uncertain, it's a different kind of punishment qualitatively, and it allows us to give Malkus. Therefore, Rabbi Yitzchak needs the Gzeirah Shavah, the extra pasuk of Achos. Well, let me say it to you a little differently. It's one punishment per crime, wherever that punishment is coming from. It doesn't matter. In other words, according to Rabbi Akiva, we're turning to the Torah, right? And we're saying to the Torah, Rabbi Torah, tell me, what is the punishment for this crime? If the Torah's answer is Kares, then I can't give Malkus. So Rabbi Akiva comes along and says, when the Torah says Kares, that's a totally different type of punishment. What makes it a different type of punishment? The conditional, iffy nature of the punishment. If I can prove to you that at one point in time, that punishment is no longer iffy, it's definite, and it's locked in, then Rabbi Akiva has a real problem, which the Gemara is going to say is going to force Rabbi Akiva to the position that he can only derive the Chi of Malkus from Gzeirah Shavah of Eine Eine. Without the Gzeirah Shavah, we cannot possibly give Malkus, because we're always entering into the possibility of a double punishment. Or, you know, let me say it a little better. I think I went too far. Not that we're entering into a possibility of a double punishment, but that since, according to Rabbi Akiva, there is a scenario in which we have certainty with regard to the nature of the Chiyuv Kares, or the Onesh Kares, therefore that Onesh has already the attribute, the element of certainty, and that gives it the bona fide status of an Onesh. Meaning, whether or not a particular punishment has a Chalav Shem Onesh or not, such that we can't give another punishment, depends upon whether or not that onus could ever be certain. If it can be certain, if in some world and some scenario there's absolute unconditional certainty about the nature of that punishment, then it has a chal shem onus.
I'm really stuck on this technical thing. Yeah. But isn't the difference whether there's slaughter or not, whether it's cars? So I mean, like, you're going to go to court and you're going to find this out, and if there were 80, so he's not going to get car, he's going to get the earthly punishment. And if there were no 80, we don't have no court case. I mean,
but again, what we're asking now is a question about the nature of Kares. If Kares is absolute,
my head around this.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying, if Kares is absolute, then it has the status of an onish. If it has the status of an onish, then we apply the rule, one punishment, one onish per criminal act. Okay. That's number one.
All right.
I mean, again, we could go over this a number of times, but let's try to make a little progress. Yeah.
So, Leah and Gemara, or Fulbar, Rav Yitzchak, he explains, Rabbi Akiva saying that the Kedeira Chateau inherently is only talking about Bezdin. If you look in the pasuk, it's clear that, like, the pasuk there talking about, like, people go to court, and what does the court do? And therefore, the Kares never applies at all. In other words, the entire learning of Kedeira Chateau, you have one evil you can apply, to saying Bezdin gets one evil. This is...
We're operating now, Jonathan. If you take a look again, we're going to get to this in a few minutes, but since you're already... Do you see the statement of Rabbi Avo, which parallels the Tosus Ma? You have the Tosus Ma? So if you go across, you'll see Rabbi Avo?
Yeah.
So this statement of Rabbi Avo will shed a light on Rabbi Akiva. And basically, Rabbi Avo is operating with the following premise. And that is that at one point in time, the punishment of Kares is definite. Okay, we may not know it down here on Earth, but in the Veltarein, you know, out there in the universe, there's a moment in time when Kares is definite. That's called Lo Asu Tshuva. Therefore, if Kares becomes definite, it now takes on the status of an Onesh, and therefore the principle of Kedei Rishasa should kick in, and once the principle of Kedei Rishasa is activated, there's no possibility of giving Malkus. How can Rabbi Akiva allow for Malkus in the case of Chiyuv Kares? Omer Rabbi Avo, Beferush Ribsa Torah Chayfei Krisus LeMalkus. Meaning Rabbi Avo is only capable of justifying Rabbi Akiva's conclusion based on Gzeirah Shavah. Minus the Gzeirah Shavah, we're going to say that there's a moment in which Kares is locked in, and therefore it should bounce off the Chi of Malkus, and Rabbi Akiva becomes nonsense. That's where we're holding now, Jonathan. No, that's just for our discussion.
Why do you need Gzeirah Shavah through logic? The guy can come and just claim, I don't know, spill the beans, and then when they try to give him Malkus, he says, what are you giving me Malkus? I already have Kares. And get out of...
Right, right. So what the Gemara is saying is that since if it's definite that he has Kares, let's say, I'll give you, I don't want you to take me literally, but let's say we give him a one-day stay in which we say, you have two choices, either do tshuva or you'll be chayav kares. The day passes. It's like, yeah, I'm just giving you, I'm talking, you'll be meichum, I'm talking almost in childish terms. But let's say the halacha was that you have a certain period of time after which it passes, it's too late to do tshuva, right? So the Gemara is saying, if that period of time passed, then kares becomes a definite punishment, which it allows it to take on the personality of a chal shem onesh, and then we apply the principle of kedei rishasa. If that be the case, Rabbi Akiva, how could you make an absolute statement that every baal hachoso is chayav malkus? He shouldn't be chayav malkus, because at least in this one scenario, which is called in the language of Gemara, lo asa tshuva, or in the language of the Bukhar Shar, it's called Nigzara Din, you know, whatever it might be, is in that case you can't give him Malkus. Why? In that case, you cannot give him Malkus because of Kedei Rishasa. So how, Rabbi Akiva, can you make a universal statement that every Chayiv Kares is Chayiv Malkus? It can't be so. There was Asra for Malkus, correct. But so what? Now he's going to get two punishments. And why is the punishment of Kares locked in? Because lo asa tshuva, whatever that means. Says Rabbi Avo, the only way I can justify Rabbi Akiva, who allows for Malkus, who obligates Malkus, across the board, in every case of a Chayiv Krisus, is by applying the Gzeirah Shavah. Without the Gzeirah Shavah, if I'm left to logic alone, I would have to alleviate this criminal of Malkus because of the principle of Kedei Rishasa. Why does the principle of Kedei Rishasa kick in? Because Kares becomes a definite punishment. Okay, that's the structure of the sugya. In the case of Rabbi Yitzchak, that's where the Bukhar Shor is claiming, the Chiyuv Kares never becomes definite, it never takes on a certainty, and therefore it is not an onesh to register the law of Kedei Rishasa, one punishment per crime, and therefore Rabbi Yitzchak's logical conclusion should have been, if left alone to logic, that he gets Malkus. Comes along Rabbi Yitzchak and he says, "Im kein lama yatzis kares v'achos." Okay. Now let's look at the next line of the Gemara. The next line of the Gemara is equally baffling. The Gemara says, "My time with Rabbi Yishma." Until these words, "My time with Rabbi Yishma," the Gemara is quoting a Braisa. The Braisa records three sheets. We said that our Mishnah, in a very oblique way, omits chiyuv misa and includes chiyuv Kares, as far as Malkus, so therefore the author of our mission is Rabbi Akiva. So we proved three sheets is Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Shmuel is of the opinion that in all cases we give him Malkus, even if he's Chayiv Misa. Rabbi Yitzchak says in no cases do we give him Malkus if he's Chayiv Misa or Kares. And Rabbi Akiva is right down the compromise in the middle. Compromise Shita, Chayiv Misa is a definite Onesh, knocks off Malkus, one punishment per crime. But a Chayiv Kares is a different kind of Onesh, and therefore we give him Malkus. Our Mishnah is reflects the authorship of Rabbi Akiva. Now the Gemara starts analyzing this Braisa. And take a look at the kickoff. The Gemara starts with my time with Rabbi Yishmael. Now, Rabosai, you and I might have different approaches here. And I'm telling you straight up front. My methodology is different than yours. Because I know what answer you're going to give me to the following question. Why does Gemara start with Rabbi Yishmael? And you'll tell me because he's the first Tana mentioned in the Brisa. But that's not the way I was brought up. I was brought up to believe that the Tana, who's in the most difficult position, whose premise or principle needs some sort of basis or some sort of logical justification, that's the Tana who's going to be hit with the question, my time. And therefore, I ask myself the following question. What bothers the Gemara about Rabbi Yishmael? Why does the Gemara think that Rabbi Yishmael, of all the Tanoim here, needs explanation? Take a look at your page for a minute. And you'll see in the next paragraph, Masha Hutzurcha Gemara Loseis Tam, Lama Machayev Rabbi Yishmael Miso Malkis. So one opinion is, Kedei Rishoso? I mean, doesn't Rabbi Yishmael know Kedei Rishoso? But frankly, I don't like that opinion. Because the Gemara hasn't even revealed, the cat has not been let out of the bag yet about Kedei Rishoso. So already the Gemara up front, from the get-go, presumed Kedei Rishoso? I don't know. But he gives us another pshat. He says the following. Elahutzrach laseis tam le Rabbi Yishmael mishum shevim malkus kosev stam v'hoya im ben hakos harasha v'lo pirish hakosev al eza averis chayev malkus u'mistomahu al averis shelo pirish hakosev li'onsham aval averis shebeforish hakosev onsham kigon chayevim mises minayin lon lomar shehe od onish malkus. For Rabbi Akiva, nosan tam lechalik, but name lechem maksha, my tamid to Rabbi Yishmael, shedivrei Rabbi Akiva, mistavrim b'tama. So if you underline the last four words of this paragraph, and I want to start backwards in a sense, this achron, I mean, he mamish lived in the 20th century, he is working with the premise that my time with Rabbi Yishmael means that the logic of Rabbi Akiva is compelling. And that's why the Gemara needs an explanation for Rabbi Akiva. In other words, what he says is there's an intuitive identification with the position and the logic of Rabbi Akiva. One punishment, one crime. Not that the Gemara is assuming already Kedei Rishoso in the very sophisticated and complex drasha, but just Mistavra, logic alone would dictate one punishment per crime. Because the Torah says that the following is the list of punishments. The Torah says that there are lavim, and if I don't know otherwise, it falls back by default into the Malkus mode. But if the Torah specifies what the punishment is, then that is the punishment. Meaning, the Torah didn't go through every single lav and tell me over and over again 365 times that you get Malkus. The Torah just says that if you violate a lo taseh, you are subject to Malkus. But then the Torah goes through the list of the lavim and isolates a certain group for kares, isolates another group for Mises Bezdin. The logic intuitively is that by doing so, the Torah is telling you that these lavim were never included in the original bag of Chiyuv Malkus. Because again, that bag was unspecified. The Torah didn't say that the following enumerated list of lavim in Kar Malkus. The Torah just gave us a general rule that if we know no better, in the lack of any knowledge to the contrary, we assume you get Malkus. But if the Torah specifies this punishment for this lav, and this punishment for this lav, obviously it's telling you what the punishment is. Then, and the Torah is taking that lav out of the general category of Chiyuv Malkus. So let's look at it inside. Do you see where he says, Lo pirish hakosev al eza avera chayev malkus? The Torah never specified which avera engenders malkus. Umistama, if I don't know any better, then I assume that if lo pirish hakosev onshav, the Torah didn't specify its punishment, then you get malkus. Aval, 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 aval. Al avera shemefurish onshav, the Torah specified its punishment, kigom chiv misa. Or Chiyuv Malkus, excuse me, Chiyuv Miso, Chiyuv Kares, minayin lo nalomah she'eh bema'od onesh malkus? You want to add another punishment on top? There's no such thing. So the Maitaim of the Rabbi Shmuel is not based on the Kedei Rishoso as a rigid, official, legal derivation, a Yalfusa with all the complications of Kedei Rishoso. No! There's an intuitive logic here, which Rabbi Akiva is correct about, and therefore the Gemara asks, Maitaim of the Rabbi Shmuel. So the Gemara answers, the Chsiv, the Pasuk says, this at the very end of the Torah, it says, Im lo tishma lasos es kol divrei ha-Torah hazos. If you have the Torah or, we'll finish the Pasuk, ha-Ksuvim b'sefer hazeh, li'iras Hashem, ha-Nichboi v'ha-Nora hazeh, es Hashem al-Kecha. And then, in the very next Pasuk, Uksiv, the Hifla Hashem es makoscha, which is the second in the Torah, or the Hifla Hashem es makoscha ves makos aracha makos gedolos ne'monim v'choloim roim. So these two psukim are contiguous, and Rabbi Yishmael is going to claim that these two psukim belong to the parasha of Malkus. And how does he know that these two psukim are referring to Malkus? Because of the word v'hifla. What does v'hifla mean? Hafla zu eni yodea mahi? I don't know how to interpret the word v'hifla. K'shu omer, now we'll go back a little bit earlier. This is only four chapters earlier in Sefer Dvarim. Three chapters earlier in Sefer Dvarim. And we have the pasuk, which is the real McCoy source or parasha of Malkus. V'pilo hashofet v'ko lefanov. So Rabbi Shmuel says that the word v'pilu, which means giving out Malkus, 39 lashes, have yomer hafla zu, is the same word as hafla. Okay, Rabosa, I'm not a Hebrew grammarian, so I don't know how to analyze this, but somehow the Gemara assumes that the word hafla, which is written, by the way, with an aleph at the end, is identical to the word v'pilu. Or maybe it's some sort of exereshava, I don't know. In any event, since in the parasha of Malkus it mentions v'pilo, that's going to shed a light on the word hafla in Dvarim Chav Ches, where the Torah says v'hifla Hashem es makoscha, and it's referring to the Malkus that's meted out by Bezd. Uksiv. Oh, here's the punchline. And the pasuk right before v'hifla says im lo sishmar lasos. Okay, let's go back to the pasuk, which is the first one in the Torah or list. Im lo sishmar lasos es kol divrei ha-Torah hazos. Rabosa, do you see an extra word there in the pasuk? Yes? Which one?
Kol.
Kol is telling you that even those lavim, which you logically came to the conclusion, are not subject to Malkus. Why? Because they engender a different punishment. And if the Torah specified and designated a different punishment, it removed it from the klal of Malkus. No! The Torah says you get Malkus for hifla kol divrei ha-Torah hazos, meaning every last lav in the Torah should incur a chiyuv Malkus. And the next half of the sugya is to go through various categories of lavim that did not engender Malkus. So you could have averos where you don't get any punishment at all. And the question is what it says, it's called divrei ha-Torah hazos. And the Gemara is going to have to introduce what's called dumya, the lav de chasima, lo satsam shor b'disha. But before we get to it, I want to just enjoy, you know, the geschmack of this Gemara, why Rabbi Yishmael holds that you get Malkus in the case of a Chayvei Misa, and you get Malkus in the case of a Chayvei Kares. Rabbi Akiva, I think, is saying something on... Rabbi Shmuel, I meant to say. Did I say Rabbi Akiva? I meant to say Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel is saying something unbelievable. You know what Rabbi Shmuel is saying? Every single violation of a lav incurs Malkus. Why? Forget about the nature of the lav. Strip the lav of its unique character. Just isolate one nitty-gritty point. And what is that? The Torah told him not to do it. And he went ahead and did it. I don't care what it is. That itself engenders a chiyuv Malkus. But There are certain averus that are chomer. They have chumris. There's an increment here. In other words, to some extent, all lavim have one common base. They're faceless, anonymous lavim, but they all have the universal common denominator of being a rebellion against the losas and the Torah. Hashem said not to do it. It's against my will. He says, I got something better on my agenda. I'm going to do it and see what you do to me. That itself is common as an avera unto itself in every single avera salav, without exception. Then we have certain averas where there's an increment, meaning from the baseline rebellion of the violation of the law, stripped of its, you know, of all its character, we have a certain increment where there's a chumras ha'avera because of the very heft to that law, the very nature and character of that law. For example, in the case of Achoso, we have here an erva, which is more than just a rebellion. It's an act of erva. And here we have another punishment. Says Rabbi Shmuel, that other punishment is simply for the increment. Meaning, the baseline is worth, we'll give it 30 points, right? And then you jack it up to 70 points. For the 30 points, you get Malkus. For the discrepancy between 30, the increment between 30 and 70, the other 40 points, because he was Baal Achoso, we're going to give you Kares. And if you hit payday and you machal Shabbos and you get 100 points, that's a chiyuv misa, you're not going to drop the basic rebellion and the chiyuv malchus for simply violating the law. That's what I think is the beauty of Rabbi Shmuel. But of course, Rabbi Shmuel has to derive this from a pasuk, in this case, the extra word kol. And I think that the Gemara is so convinced of the logic of Rabbi Yishmael, that it's going to raise a question, my time with Rabbi Akiva. Take a look at the next line.
Well, that's what the Pesach actually says.
Right? And it's called Divrei Torah, it doesn't matter what it is. I don't care. It may look to you and I as being inconsequential and significant.
The word call is all.
Correct.
It's any.
Correct.
Well, the difficulty I have with Rabbi Yishmael is that the pasuk, unlike the Kedei Shavtel, which is clearly talking about Bezdin, the pasuk that Rabbi Yishmael is quoting is like involved in
right, about God himself.
And
right.
It's just God himself will do it. It's right. Like, I'll strike your
That's 100% correct, John.
So but I learned you can give Malkus to,
right.
to a minor. Like,
right.
Right.
Right. And it's interesting, Jonathan, that the Gemara never raises that objection. And not only that, the Gemara is convinced of the nature of the drush of Rabbi Akiva, of Rabbi Shmuel, to such an extent that the Gemara is going to turn around, you know, Hafach HaKaras Pia, and turn this into a Kasha Rabbi Akiva, my time with the Rabbi Akiva. Meaning, the Gemara is absolutely convinced that the word haflah here has an additional meaning. It's not only that God in heaven is going to mete out punishment and retribution, it's even Bezdin on earth. This pasuk is an extension, this pasuk is in Dvarim Chav Ches, is an extension of the parasha in Chav Hei of Bezdin meeting out Malkus. But as called the Divrei Torah Zos, that I think is a very profound idea. So if you... Okay, so you don't have the next page because I didn't photocopy a few, but let me just read a few lines from the next page. Rabbi Akiva, my timer, he says the following. Let me just see who he's quoting. He's quoting the Siach Yitzchak. Okay, one of the Achronim. I learned by the Rav for 5 years, I never heard of the Siach Yitzchak, but I never heard of any of the Achronim. So I'm a total ignoramus because the Rav didn't teach us Achronim. The only Achronim that registered for him were the Shach, the Taz, and the Gong, I think. That was like about it, you know. Maybe the Ksos, maybe the Shagasari. Okay, you can add a few Michlis Chiduch, but it's a list that probably represents less than 0.0001% of the Achronim. And if you know, it's an even smaller fraction if you're into the chuvis of Ravadi Yosef. It's a very small fraction. Anyway, so let's present the question of the Siach Yitzchak. Umash eshol Rabbi Akiva my taima. Why is the Gemara so bothered by the sheet of Rabbi Akiva? Jonathan's argument, maybe Imlo Tishmar is referring to punishments of God. What does that have to do with me? Yesh Lomar. The Zegufa Kasha, this is his first answer. I like his second answer better. Lama Eino Mefarish Kra Di Imlo Tishmar Kerem Yishmar. somehow they were, the Chazal, the Gemara, was so totally bamboozled by this drasha that they couldn't even justify Rabbi Akiva's rejection of the drasha. But here he gives a second answer. He says, HaGemara Savra, Shegam Rabbi Akiva Mode, Shechaive Misos, Lokin, below Hisru Bahem Lemiso. Here's the scenario. What would Rabbi Akiva say if the Edom gave him Asra for Malkus and they didn't mention Misa? He's about to be Mechal Shabbos and they said to him, don't do it, you'll get Malkus. So the Gemara assumes that in such a case, even Rabbi Akiva would agree that you get Malkus. But wait a second, what kind of a lav is it? If you define the lav, it's a lav that lends itself to Misa. Just happened to be that the Edom gave Asra for Malkus. In other words, when the Torah says that you get Malkus, Ves kol haTorah hazos, what was included in the word kol? Chiyuv Misa was included or excluded? Well, obviously, according to Rabbi Shmuel, the answer is included. But what about according to Rabbi Akiva? It's included even according to Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva's moder to Rabbi Yishmael that is kol haTorah Zos is the parish of Malkus, and that there is no lav whatsoever that excluded, that is bumped off from Malkus, as we said before, because it has the basic violation of the will of Hashem. Al Kain, and therefore Maksha im Kain behisru bo lemisa yilke. Oh, meaning the Gemara had two ways of interpreting that as kol haTorah Zos. There's what I call the more limited way of interpreting as kol haTorah Zos, and the expanded way of learning as kol haTorah Zos. The limited way of as kol haTorah Zos is to say that every lav in the Torah, without exception, is included in the parasha of Malkus. However, do we mete out Malkus in every single lav? Well, that depends. One punishment per crime, and if there was a Hasra for both Misa and Malkus, then we're going to only give Misa and not Malkus. But if there was no Hasra for both Misa and Malkus, so I have no problem of meting out two punishments for one crime, then El Chinami, every single lav is included in the parasha, because that's a kol haTorah Zos. And that's why even Rabbi Akiva would agree that in such a scenario you get Malkus. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Akiva, if you agree that as kol haTorah Zos takes every single lav and includes it in the parsha, then logically you should go one step further and accept the entire kit and caboodle of Rabbi Yishmael. That why is every single lav included in the parsha? Why does every lav have in potential the Chiyuv Malkus, which will be actualized in the case with the Zasra for Malkus alone, because you violated Hashem's will and you rebelled? If that be the case, then I'm not meeting out two punishments for one crime. There are two punishments for two different crimes. Rabbi Yishmael's logic is compelling, because what Rabbi Yishmael is telling us is that Malkus Lechud and Misa Lechud, they're for two different reasons. The Mechayev of Malkus is Eskola Torah Zos, meaning that Malkus is appropriate for any violation of any law. Forget about what the nature of the law is. Forget about the heft of the law, the face of the law, the personality of the law. Just strip it to its basics. Namely, he's violating the law of the Torah. That's why you get Malkus. Now you went a step further and you added a Chumras HaAveira, for which the Torah tells you you're deserving of Kares, you're deserving of Misa. That shouldn't undermine your Chiyuv Malkus for the very basic crime of Averis HaLav. The Gemara thinks that the drasha of Kol HaTorah Zos is absolutely compelling, not only on a level of drasha, according to the second pshat here in the Siach Yitzchak, but even on a conceptual level of Svar.
What would Rabbi Shmuel say regarding the Lava Nitak Liase or Lava Nitakliase?
Yeah, that's the whole sugi that we're going to have. In other words, if according to Rabbi Shmuel, every single lav is a violation of the will of God and incurs Malkus, as kol haTorah Zos, why do you exclude a lav shenbo maisa, a lav shenita this, a lav shenita kliyase, etc., etc.? But just I want to take 1 minute of your time to ask you the following question. Okay, so we're asking my time with Rabbi Akiva. We don't understand the logic of Rabbi Akiva. Why didn't he accept Rabbi Shmuel kit and kaboot? So what's the Gemara's answer? Kedei Rishos, correct? Oh. Here I don't know what the Gemara's answer is all about. I have two ways of approaching the Gemara's answer of Kedei Rishos. One way of interpreting the Gemara And I'll read to you what I wrote out. Just like, my wife hates when I read my writings, but sometimes it helps me. One way of interpreting the Gemara is to say that Kedei Rishaso comes to limit the Chiddush of the Alfusa of Kol. And basically what it does is, it says, put the Lav of Chayve Mises back into the parish of Malkus, but only when Bezdin does not implement Misa. When Bezdin is implementing Misa, then the Torah says Kedei Rishaso, you cannot implement both Misa and Malkus two at the same time. That's what Kedei Rishaso is saying. Or number two, maybe Kedei Rishaso removes the Lav from the parish of Malkus. And maybe Kedei Rishaso is teaching me that any Lav that has the potential of engendering another Onesh, whether it's Misa or Kares, that Lav is not included in Eskol HaTorazos. So what's the nafkamina between the two pshatim? Did anybody catch what I was driving at? Should I repeat it one more time? The first way of saying it is, let's just limit the Chiddush of Kol. Basically, Rabbi Akiva is on board with the Chiddush of Kol, and every Lav is included in the parish of Malkus. What is Kedei Rishaso telling me? Don't go too far with Kol. Why? Because if you go too far with Kol, you're going to embrace Rabbi Yishmael, and that's a violation of Kedei Rishaso. You're going to allow Bezdin to implement two punishments for one crime. That we can't do. The second way, which is I think a much far-reaching way of learning Kedei Rishaso, is that the Gemara is telling us about Rabbi Akiva that Kedei Rishaso is removing the Lav from the parsha of Malkus. If this Lav is included in a parsha of Misa, then take it out of the parsha of Malkus. What's the nafkamina, Rabosai? The case where he got Asra for Malkus. Correct? He didn't get Asra for Misa. So if I go with the first shot, and all I'm saying, Kedei Rishaso, is that we cannot, Bezdin cannot implement two punishments. They can't give both Misa and Malkus. In this case, there's only one punishment being meted out. He's alleviated from Misa because there's no Asra for Misa. But if I take the second shot, and I'm saying that any Lav that could lead to a Kedei Rishaso violation, meaning that Bezdin might be able to mete out two punishments, that Lav is completely removed from the parish of Malkus, then in that case, what I have to do in the case of a Chiyuv Misa is completely remove it from the parish of Malkus. And even in a case where there was Asra for Malkus alone, there would be no Chiyuv Malkus. And that's what I don't know. Because in the language of the Siach Yitzchak, he writes, Shagamara Savra Achshav. Again, I don't want to be medayik in the Siach Yitzchak too much, it's an Achron, but he says Achshav, meaning to explain why the Gemara said, my timer. The Rabbi Akiva, the Gemara Achshav Sava, Shagam Rabbi Akiva Mode, Shechaive Misos Lokin Aleim, the Hisrubo Lemalkus, Velo Hisrubo Lemisa. Implying that in the Maskana of the Gemara, there's no case in which a Lav that incurs Misa is included in the Parsha of Malkus. Now, let's see, we're probably finished that time, and if you have any questions, now's a good time to ask.
Only five by Pesach?
Mammon, you mean? Like a Chiv Mammon? No. Let's take, for example, the case of Misa and Malkus. Correct? So if, again, we have to figure out where Yishmael fits into this, and that's going to be Rava to get the beginning of the wide lines, but leaving out Rava, then Rabbi Yishmael seems to reject this. But all the Tanoim, with the exception of Rabbi Yishmael, would tell you that you can't give both Misa and Malkus. So we'll always give you the more severe punishment, and that's called Kedei Rishaso, and we're going to drop the lower punishment.
That's a big kasha on Rabbi Yishmael.
Okay, Rabbi Shmuel is a Tana. He doesn't have to be impressed by that. He's going to reinterpret Kedei Rishaso in a different way. And that we're going to have to see. Rava is going to flip Rabbi Shmuel around completely and assume that even Rabbi Shmuel adopts Kedei Rishaso. But before Rava, Enochinami, Rabbi Shmuel seems to reject Kedei Rishaso. Okay then? The next topic I want to discuss with you is your question, Rabbi Sachtowitz, about Lav Hanitech L'Eseh. Why is it that the Lav Hanitech L'Eseh is no Malkus? According to Rabbi Shmuel, it's Kol HaTorah is also included in the Parsha Malkus. So the Gemara is going to quote the Pasuk of Lo Sachsam Shar B'disho as the classic, and that's a Lav Sheyesh Bo Maisa. Okay then? So that's going to be Dumya Delav the Chasiba, which hopefully we'll pick up Bli Neder next Tuesday night. Next Wednesday
night. If it's a case, like extend like 1 million, that would be like two punishments. He's still he did to himself. If you back in Rashi, Rashi says she only tells us from day tshuva. That's like the Rav, like the thing with Rabbi Akiva. I mean, if he's doing to himself, if he wasn't chosen with tshuva, not like his two punishments for that avera. He did to himself. It's two separate things.
Oh, you mean
it's
like one thing. You remind me of the famous Vart. I saw it once in Rav Dessel, but a lot of say it that it's the Rambam writes that after Asar Yismei Tshuva for Benedi, he says Asa Tshuva is Nichtam L'chaim, Lo Asa Tshuva Nichtam L'mavis. What do you mean? He didn't do Tshuva, so what? He's still Mechzal Mechzal. Why is he Nichtam L'chaim? The answer is he had the opportunity to do Tshuva, and he didn't take advantage of the opportunity. Does Gufas Raver, you know, and that tips the scale.
What time is your shiur on Monday morning? Is it the bracha shiur?
Monday morning and Wednesday morning, whichever you can come. I'm saying you don't have to come, but it's at 11:45. And on Tuesday and Thursday at the same exact time, 11:45, we learn the agadat of brachas. That's an agadat shiur.
This other COVID.
Yeah. So I'm just saying on Mondays and Wednesdays.
I had a seder with somebody, but he's going back to the States.
So if you just give me a little bit of notice, Bli Neder, I'll get you a chavrusa. I know of at least one person who would be a great candidate for you, so for a chavrusa. But the only thing is, if you're only coming one, yeah, chavrusa in the shiur.
So Chavrus is 11:45?
No, the Shia is 11:45. Chavrus is whenever you can come. Officially, we start at 10. Most people come at 10:30. Some come at 11. Whenever you come. The only thing is, I'll tell you, Rabbi Sachtowitz, my challenge in finding you a Chavrus, but I'm willing to try to face that challenge, is that if you can only be there one morning a week, I have to find someone who fits that pattern.
What parak you learn?
First parak. We're on that Beis Hamanav. We're starting with that big Tosus Me'emasa. So we're halfway through that Tosis. Hopefully we'll finish it on Monday. Okay? Now, if you do come this Monday, and you have 45 minutes to prepare for the shiur on Monday, then I would tell you to listen to my shiur from today on the YU site. You know how to use the YU site. So it's, if you get to Berzon Azariah, then it's the top shiur. That's today's shiur. Actually, after I put it the Makis shiur, then it'd be the second shiur. But it's the top shiur. If you have the 45-50 minutes, it'll give you, because I break new ground in the Rambam and Rashi, and now I'm ready for Rabbeinu Tam and the Ri. So there are many shiur. It's all about how we daven Ma'ariv before Tzeis, with Kriyat Shema.